Thank you, Lord. Well, so we have been talking about turning your faith loose, and we're going to continue there, and we're not going to probably get through this, the rest of it tonight, but I do want to spend a few minutes. This is going to be a teaching. Some of this I'm just going to read because it's good. But we've been talking about confession, that, you know, over time, We've talked about all these different things, but that faith is of our heart, that's our spirit man, and that confessing and saying the words, saying what God says, is one way we release it. We think in line with the Word, believe in line with the Word, and speak in line with the Word, and that's how we release our faith. And we've talked about it, that if your confession is wrong, it's because your believing's wrong. Bottom line, if you say something and you're letting it come out of your mouth, if you're saying, I'm not going to make it, I don't know how we're going to do that, I feel awful, it's because you believe that. That is stronger than any, you can say you believe whatever, but if you're saying it, or you're not, I should say it this way, you can believe something but yield to the wrong thing and say something that you don't really believe. Did you hear me? You can say something, you can believe something, but you can yield to the wrong thing and say something that you don't really believe. We talked about this on Sundays several weeks ago, but have any of you ever said something to somebody that you really didn't believe or mean? But you said it. But you just said it because your flesh was riled up, because you were angry, because somebody crossed it and you were like, you're the worst, blah, blah, blah. And you didn't mean it. Literally, it wasn't even true. Right? Well, you can do that in your personal life. You don't believe something, but you let the wrong thing come out. But if you let that wrong thing come out, the thing is, you'll hear yourself saying that, and it starts to affect your spirit man. It starts to affect you. It drains you. And so if your confession is wrong, your believing's wrong. If your believing's wrong, it's because your thinking's wrong. I know this is simple, but you getting this? This is why if our believing's wrong, it's because our thought process has come to the wrong conclusion and we're thinking, well, if this is the way the world is, then I believe this about it, and if I believe this about it, I say this about it. This is the way, well, people that don't believe the Bible, or they say, well, I believe this and this, therefore, I don't see how there could be a God, and so they don't believe there's a God, and of course they say that there's no God, because their thinking's messed up. It's not in line with the Word. So we've talked about this. We need to get our mind renewed to line up with the Word of God. If it lines up with the Word of God, then our thinking is going to affect our believing. We're going to come to the right believing conclusions. And if our believing's right, we are going to start saying the right thing in spite of wrong or contradictory evidence. And that's what we need to do regardless. And I'm not saying this, you need to do this. This has been twisted over time. People that have been in Word of Faith circles, they can start to feel, well, that's just, you know, legalism, or you're saying, I have to do it. No, God has done things for us, but if we bind Him by our words, and we say, I don't believe that, we're giving place to the devil to come in and enslave us, even when Jesus has set us free. So when we're saying this, we need to say what God says. And we read this, Mark 11:22-24. We've read it a lot, but let's just turn over there real quick. I don't think we've even, as many times as we've turned to some of these verses, I don't even think we've scratched the surface of some of this stuff. Mark 11:22, and I want to read it to you in the Amplified too, but just put your eyes on it. God's thoughts are higher than ours. Do you know that? Let's hold our finger and mark and go to Isaiah 55. And just read that verse real quick. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 55. Glory to God. Let's read Isaiah 55, verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." He's talking about thinking. He said, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there and water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. But I want you to focus on the first part. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are higher than us. I think we just keep going along and we grow maybe in our understanding of this, but I think even at our understanding level, any of us in here, it's just a fraction of how big He really is. We can't really comprehend ever with the equipment that we've been given. Not mentally. You can discern things spiritually. In other words, your spirit can grab a hold of things and grab a hold of things about God that your mind just is, it shuts off. It can't comprehend, but your spirit just grabs a hold and says, yes, I believe that about God. I believe that's true. We were at a Christmas program on Saturday. And there was a part of that Christmas program, and this is in our church in town, or not in this town, but in our town. There's a certain point where they were showing in the universe just different pictures of the galaxy and the Milky Way and different things, and just saying some numbers about the universe and how far apart things are and the stars and showing pictures and just mind-boggling. Just when you realize how small, just in the known universe, how far apart things are, and how small the earth is. I mean, when you really look at it, I mean, it's one thing to say, well, yeah, He created the heavens and the stars and even the earth. The earth is big to us, but is so minuscule in this, in comparison to other planets, let alone the sun and let alone all the stuff that's out there. It just, your mind cannot comprehend a light year, let alone thousands of light years. I mean, a light year, I mean, you know how fast light travels? It travels at 175,000, 176,000 miles a second. It goes around the earth 7 times in a second. And a light year is light traveling for a year. That's a light year. So something going at 176,000 miles a second, going, you start here and start the clock, and a year later, at light traveling 176,000 miles a second, you stop, and that's the distance of a light year. One. And when you're talking about thousands or hundreds of thousands of light years, that's just, it can say, mm-hmm, yeah, okay. It doesn't really register. That's so vast. And when you're talking about billions or, you know, all these the numbers, that's God knows everything about all that, though. He knows everything about it. I mean, I don't know if I'm conveying to you, but when I was sitting there, I was like, wow, that just notched it up. I mean, you can know that with your head, but when you know God, like, I mean, like the man said, it's one thing to say that he holds the worlds in the palm of his hand. It's another thing when you start talking about what that means. He knows all that. How do these angels get around? They're not subject to physics like this. And how do you get from one side of the universe to the other? They're not subject to these physics. Somehow that, you know, they operate above the speed of light or something. This isn't all there is. But God knows. That's, I mean, so we are, you start thinking naturally, you start thinking about what you can see and feel. What you see and feel is just nothing compared to what there is. I mean, we see and feel, you see and feel your house. And then you get out and, well, it's like my physics teacher used to say, you know, the little puppy dog in a box. He's you bring him home and you put him in the box and he walks around the box and he thinks this is the world. This puppy dog in the box, you know, he goes, if you put him in a little box, he can't see and he's going around and this is it. And one day you let him out and now he sees the house. This is it. And you let him outside and he can see around and this is it. But there's a whole world that he doesn't even know exists. We're a lot like that, naturally speaking. Well, this is it. This is my life. This is what I see. It's all there is. And then we get a little, you know, we start seeing some other things. We get more and more of God. The more further you get, you realize, I know nothing. And even the person that knows the most on this little speck in the middle of the whole, I mean, universe, it's nothing. But God knows it all. When you say the Creator is our Father, when you start realizing how big it is, I mean, how powerful. I was thinking about this. You think of power. Think of strength, something that's powerful. I was thinking about this. You could think of some big man. You know, you could show that. Powerful. Some guy that's really, you know, powerful. You know, like a boxer punching. That's a degree of power. Some guy that's lifting weights. You know, like the Olympic weights with the 45-pound plates on each end and, you know, five of them and, you know, doing this stuff. You could say that's powerful, but then you put that next and you show a bulldozer. Okay, well, that's another level up. That's another level of strength and power. Then you show something like, you know, a building being taken down. That's a level, all that concrete and steel coming down and exploding. That's a level above. Then you show like Mount St. Helens erupting. That's another degree above that. It makes the guy lifting the weights look like nothing. Right? You have this huge amount of power, and then you look at something happen on a global scale. You know, waves. Have you ever seen these pictures of the waves when there's a storm in the ocean? I mean, just huge things. All that massive water, if that crashed into something. And then you take a step back, and that's just on the Earth. Now you start looking at planets moving. And how much weight. I mean, you're talking about tons and tons and tons of mass moving. And then you step back in the galaxies and how much there is. And God, when you talk about His power, is stronger than all that put together. When you talk about, then it makes it look like His power plugging into your problem. There's just nothing even you have to think about. It's like, tweak, it's done. To tweak your body, nothing. He moves planets. He creates solar systems. Your body, it's done. I mean, it's just so much of a fraction of His power, He couldn't give you too much or else you're dead. The anointing of God comes on. I've experienced it to a degree. But people that have gone much, you know, way farther than me, Brother Hagin stuff, said that anointing's on you for enough time, it weakens your body. Your body can't handle it. For an extended period of time. Because it's the power, the anointing of God. You can only turn it up so much to where you can handle it. But that's the power when we're saying His ways. Why do you say all that? Well, his ways are higher than our ways. When you are thinking naturally and speaking naturally, you're tapping into natural stuff. But when you start speaking what God says, now you're talking about this other realm that controls this whole natural realm, but is higher. And that's what you tap into, and that's what you're saying is going to exist in my life. You're saying, I don't care what this looks like. I'm going to say what the Word says, and it's coming in and going to drive out anything in the natural. It can't help but change. But if I let this little piddly, these circumstances or something that looks contrary to God, keep me from acting on what He said, I'm short-circuiting that. But His power, His strength is so much higher. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You getting a picture? I believe it's just spirit to spirit. God, the Holy Spirit's painting a picture for you. I pray, getting in what I have in my spirit to you. And you're seeing that. But just go back over to Mark 11, 22. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. It's hard to not preach. Sometimes I'm going to just teach on this stuff more, but there's just, you know, when you haven't preached for a week and a half, it's just hard not to just preach, I think. But praise God. Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You see, you can't, if you're thinking naturally, that doesn't make any sense. But when you think you're, if you say what he says and his power, his supernatural power is coming on the scene to make that happen, now it makes sense. It's actually really logical. But if you're thinking over here saying, well, how can what you say do it? I just don't get that. But when you realize God spoke the world into existence and we're saying what he said, now it's like, okay, I could see that happening. That's what your heart says. It can grab a hold of this and see that me speaking and agreeing with him is not me trying to do something. It's letting the power of Almighty God that's backing those words work in my situation. And that power is infinitely greater than anything I'm facing. And that may not make sense to the natural mind, but your spirit is doing flip-flops. Your spirit's going, that's right, that's right, I see that. Can you attest to that? When you set, your spirit is jumping up saying, that's right, that's exciting. See, that's your spirit, man. If you could see inside, is just, you know, doing cartwheels around here. Your natural man may not be able to do that. But your spirit man is in just going, yes, that's what I see. Yes, that's true. Mind, shut up. You don't know anything. You're limited. You can't comprehend God anyway. And we tap into something that's far beyond human, natural human ability or reasoning. Now, I just want to read you a few things. It says, the Amplified Translation reads, for this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. This is the next one. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. If you trust and are confident that whatever you asked for is granted, then you are going to say, it's mine, I have it now. That is your faith speaking. If you're confident, you're going to say, yeah, I have it. Yep, I have it. Why? Because I believe what God said, I have it. Now, I read this. I didn't read this part, but I want to read this. And then I'll read some other stuff that we read. And Brother Hagin says this, the greatest things that will ever happen to you will occur when you move out into this faith realm of believing and saying. But the intellect and the physical senses will fight you every step of the way to keep you from moving into this realm. That's because the physical or natural mind, if it isn't renewed by the Word, wants to hold you in the natural realm. It wants to hold you here. It doesn't want you to get out into what your spirit is tapping into. But he says you will experience things beyond anything that you're experiencing now when you tap into this realm of believing and saying. Believing what God said and releasing it and start to say it. That doesn't make sense to your natural mind. But it's what the Word of God says. And it makes total sense when we realize that saying is contractually putting something into effect here on this earth. And the power of God backing us in our life, we're the conduit that we're saying, this will be so. And that's the way we do it. That's the way we put it into effect. And when we do that, things will change. It makes sense to you. It makes sense that God's Word, because you realize it's not my voice, it's the authority that I'm releasing, and the power behind that is what God is saying, not me. It's not just me saying something, it's giving God the place to change. And that's why it's so important that we stay on what God's Word says and not short-circuit it by starting to say the opposite and stopping it, because when we do that, we unconsciously give the enemy dominion over us. We're giving somebody dominion with our words. We're giving somebody dominion with our words. When we speak it, we're giving God's power the ability to affect our situation, or we're unconsciously or consciously giving the enemy a place in our life. There is a spiritual realm, and that is really our realm as spirit beings. Did you get that? There is a spiritual realm. There is a spiritual realm. I'm not saying this because I think you're slow. I'm saying it so that it resonates with your heart. There is a spiritual realm. That's because everything that you see on the TV and in the malls doesn't tell you that. It says, this is all there is. Get what you can now. Buy at our store now. This is what there is. Eat all you can now, because that's all there is. It's telling you this. It's not telling you there's actually another world out there and there's a God that created it all. And there's an enemy that's actually trying to deceive you right now. There's nothing saying that. So when we say, no, there is a spiritual realm, and this is actually our realm. This is the realm that we belong to, is that spiritual realm. Now, I read this statement before, and I want to read it again. Brother Hagin said this: the Lord once said to me, so many have barely touched that spiritual realm. Yea, ye enter into it briefly in being filled with the Spirit and speaking with tongues. Why not enter on into it? Yea, go on out even into the deep things of mine, for surely your every desire shall be granted, and the fullness of God shall be yours to enjoy. As you step out into this realm, step out into the spiritual realm. Glory to God. Brother Hagin used to say that the speaking in tongues is the gateway to the supernatural. You're more aware as you're speaking in tongues, you can get over into the spirit, and you're more what is being in the spirit means? It means you're more aware of spiritual things than you are of natural. I've been there to a degree. And Brother Hagin said he's gotten over there to where you don't want to come back. You just get over to where the spiritual things are so real, you just want to step over and be in there, be into that. And I've experienced that to a degree where you're in a spirit, you're just so aware of spiritual realities and what God is saying. And you can walk around with like that. Our goal is to be like that. to be, to walk in the Spirit. Somebody said it like this. One of my instructors at Rhema, he said, you can walk in the Spirit and worship just like this fellowship with God, just being conscious of the fellowship with God all the time. He said, it's like you walking around with a book on top of your head. And as you start doing this, you say, okay, I'm just going to be conscious of the Spirit of God. You may, I used to do that with my old Bible. I don't really want to bend it up. You got an old book? No. I'll just catch it. So he said, you know, you put it on there and you start walking and it just falls off. And you put it back on, you start walking and it, and pretty soon you fall off. That's like you start saying, "Now I'm gonna walk with Him. I'm gonna be aware of His presence." And you start driving in traffic, and somebody does something, and you know, you're just not even aware of the Spirit of God anymore. You're like, right? That can happen. And so, what do? You got to put it back on. No, God, you're still real. You're here, and you just become aware that God hasn't gone anywhere. Like we were saying for weeks, that the greater one's in me, and become aware of that presence, and you may walk, and then something else and distracts you, and there it goes again. But if we keep doing it, and keep getting up, and keep being conscious of His presence, pretty soon we can get away to where we can get to the place where we just walk around with the presence of God, just being aware of it. And you just walk around like that. And you're talking to somebody, but you're just aware of the presence of God. And you're not even, this isn't falling off. Now it's something, yeah, it's not necessarily like it happens tomorrow. But we can take steps. Spiritual things are a lot like natural things. Why do we get confused when sometimes we talk about spiritual things? We think, okay, now I have that truth. Never again. It's different for the rest of my life. And then we become discouraged when it doesn't happen the next day. Now, just like we learned to talk, just like we learned math, just like, you know, we learned to ride a bike, we can learn how to walk in the Spirit and be conscious of this. A lot of how this happens, or a good chunk of it, is by what we say. When you yield to what to start saying something negative, you are yielding, especially if the natural is influencing what you're saying, you are pulling yourself right into the natural and out of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Why? Because you are saying that this natural realm, is, if you give into it and you say, I just can't believe how these conditions, you know, at work are happening. I can't believe, you know, how it seemed to get going on one thing and then it seems like the devil just comes in. What are you saying? You're completely confessing what this world is doing. And what are you, you're taking your attention off the spirit realm that hasn't changed, but you're focusing on this. That'll zap you out. That'll take you out. You want to know why people close their eyes a lot of times? You see them ministering. Like, I'll close my eyes at the piano, especially when I'm ministering, whatever, because you can get sucked back into the natural so easy. But if you're here, you can see things in your spirit. And you can see things, and that's real, and you're not being moved by what you see, people, and reactions on faces or anything like that. And you can see things, and your head will tell you, I don't see how that's true, but your heart is. Sometimes when you see things, it sucks you right back into the natural. But we're spirit beings. This is not our home. We are aliens here. We are not here. We are here in the flesh, but this isn't our residence. And so it shouldn't be surprising that God's ways are different than the ways of operating naturally on this earth. And that's what we want to tap into. We want to agree with His ways. And like Brother Hagin said there, your mentality, your physical senses, and your flesh will fight you every step of the way when you're trying to act on spiritual realities. They'll try to suck you back in the natural and say, see, feel, touch, just look. The devil will tell you, see, you just pay attention to what you're feeling right now, what you're seeing. That stuff you're saying isn't real. He'll try to get you to focus on what? The natural. Because he knows your power and your real strength is when you tap into what God is saying, and that's supernatural. That's higher than the natural. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. When we make confessions, we'll just have to get into this next time. But when we make confessions that are based on the natural, that are based on what we see, that are based on what is hindering us, that the devil's hindering me. I just can't seem to get past that. Every time I get going, this happens. We are giving the devil place in our life to keep it like that. I don't think we've realized this to the degree that we ought to. We haven't looked at it for what's really happening. The enemy is constantly putting pressure on your mouth to get you to say something that will give him access and dominion over you. Did you get that? He's putting pressure on you. When you feel that pressure to say something, he's trying to get you to give him legal access to dominate you. And when you confess what he is able to do and what he is doing, you are continuing to give him dominion over you. He's the God of this world. And you are either going to give the devil or God access, one of the two, by what you say. Wrong confession. Wrong confession would be against God's word. Any confession against God's word. Wrong confession is a confession of defeat, of failure, and of the supremacy of Satan. To talk about how the devil is hindering you, how he is keeping you from success, how he is holding you in bondage, how he is keeping you sick, is a confession of defeat. Such confessions as those simply glorify the devil. Confessions that glorify the devil are wrong confessions. That's what we're doing when we're saying what's happening. I don't understand why. We're giving him dominion over our life to allow him to keep doing. We're giving him power and strength over us. Brother Hagin relates this. He said, I remember some time ago, one woman got up in one of my meetings and said, the devil has been after me all week. Bless his holy name. He said, I know she got her praise misplaced. She meant to glorify God. She meant to praise God, yet she was glorifying the devil by doing that and getting up and talking about it. Bless his holy name. And that's what we do a lot. When we get up and say, man, I've been getting, the devil's just been beating up. Another minister said he came in, Brother Hagin came in. I don't think this is really true, but he said, Brother Hagin, a guy came and said, well, I got the devil on the run. Brother Hagin said, oh, that's awesome. He goes, trouble is, I'm running and he's chasing me. But isn't that the way we're tempted to say to each other? Well, I've just, how's it going? Well, devil's sure been after, getting after me and doing this and doing that. And I've been sick and I can't seem to get rid of it, or I just seem to get going on something in my finances, and boom, something happens. You know what we're doing? We're saying the devil has lordship over me. The devil is dominating me. What we're saying is that God is failing, and the devil's higher, and God cannot keep the devil from just destroying me at will. You getting this?
Yes.
That's not true. But that's what the devil has done, is got us to say and give him access and essentially to bow our knee to let him come in and destroy, which is what he wants to do. And so when we speak these type of things, we are giving him access. If you talk about what the devil is doing and what he has done, you are glorifying the devil. Isn't it true? What do we call a testimony? When somebody gets up and says, praise God, this is what was going on and this is what God did about it. And is that glorifying God? Is it? So let me ask you a question. If you get up and say what the devil's been doing in your life and what he's able to do, who are you glorifying? The devil. So many times people miss it by making the wrong confession. They lose the blessing and they are defeated and life is a grind to them. Now, I'm not saying Jesus has changed. We are blessed and God is saying, I've done all this, and we're saying, the devil, I know all that, but the devil has dominion over that and nullifies everything that God has done for me, and God can't do anything because I just believe the devil is Lord over me. Now, we wouldn't say it like that, but that's what we're doing. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I want to wrap this up, and we'll pick it up. But I want to leave you with just a few more things here. It says, a wrong confession is an unconscious declaration that your Father God is a failure. When you say what the devil is doing and what he's done, you're saying God can't overcome it. He can't do anything about it. And I'm going to perish. We're declaring that God's a failure. That his power is not sufficient to save us. A wrong confession will simply sap the very life out of you. Completely drain you. A wrong confession destroys your faith. It holds you in bondage. But the confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the devil in every combat. This is a weapon. And this is the weapon, one of the main weapons of our warfare. And most people on the face of the earth do not realize this. On the other hand, the confession of Satan's ability to hinder you and to keep you from success gives the devil dominion over you. You see, with your mouth, you are either going to give God dominion over you or you are going to give Satan dominion over you. That's the way we got born again, that we said, no, Jesus is Lord. I confess him as Lord and Savior, and that broke the power of Satan in our life. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We'll get into some specifics next time. But it's something I believe God's impressing in our hearts and seeing this and our spiritual eyes. Being open. Hallelujah. Things are changing. Things are changing. Things are changing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't believe we've seen this like we ought to. I believe we're going up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's good just to keep your mouth shut. If you can't say the right thing, and you know you can, but if you don't, you just keep your mouth shut. It's way better than declaring what Satan wants you to say. Thank you, Lord Jesus.